Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contaminated.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in to tonight's broadcast. We've got a really good one for you tonight. In fact, we've done this show about 4 years ago, and this will be an addition to that particular one that we did, and we'll get into that in just a bit. But you're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going to invite you to go to my website, drjessewalker.com, and check out our blog, check out things that we're doing, you know, all out there. So check us out, and we hope that there's certainly something that can be of benefit to you if you go to our website. We've done over 700 shows, and I can assure you there's a show out there that you will probably benefit from. So you can go to the archives at any point in time and either Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. or drjessewalker.com, and you can listen to any of our 700-plus shows, that is, and be able to hear a show that might be very near and dear to your own heart. So we want you to pay close attention to that as we get going this evening. And once again, you're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Join us. We're encouraging you to do that because, you know, you don't want to miss that broadcast. We're going to be bringing in our co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. She'll be joining us in just a few minutes while she's preparing to come in. We're going to ask that you visit us once again on our website, Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. or drjessewalker.com. Either one of those will do suffice to get you into our studio to see what we're all about. Let's go now without further delay and bring in Ms. Blake, because we're going to have a very good show for you tonight, and I don't want you to miss out on any of this. All right, Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening. You're live.
Good afternoon, Dr. Walker. How are you today?
I'm doing just wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Great. How's the weather in Florida? Hopefully it's the Sunshine State, living up to its name today.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I had the pleasure of being in Atlanta this weekend. And I can tell you this time I was ready for that weather in Atlanta.
Okay.
And it was quite, yeah, it was cool. I got in, I think, Saturday afternoon. It was, no, Saturday morning, actually. And it was cool that morning. And but this time I was ready, scarf and all.
Okay.
I'm glad to yeah, it was nice for the change in season. It was very nice, as a matter of fact, for the change in season. So that worked out.
Great.
If you're ready, we can go ahead and give your commercial at this time and let the people know who you are and what you're all about and so forth and so on.
Okay, well, as you stated earlier, I am Audrey Blake, also known as Audrey B. I am the CEO of Fostering Leadership in You. It's a small company, consulting company based out of Columbus, Ohio and Atlanta, Georgia. And one of the things I do is I'm an author. I have a couple of books out. Actually, I have about 4 or 5 books, if you count the e-books. But I like to just kind of remind everybody about one of my books that's very exciting. I've got some great feedback on it even recently. and it's a novel called Dying to Wake Up. It is currently in the form of an ebook. It's priced out at only $4.99. I intentionally priced it quite low. The hardcover will be coming out. I've been working on that and with the publisher. But if you go on Amazon.com, you can find out about it. And just to, you know, briefly give you a snippet of it, you know, if you can imagine that your life is sitting on top of the world, and then suddenly the world is sitting on top of you. And so I've gotten some really good feedback on the book. It's definitely a page-turner, so I've heard. I enjoyed writing it tremendously. So I encourage you, if you have a Kindle or you have a smartphone or a computer, you're able to download it off of Amazon.com. Just to let you know, a couple other things I do. I do conduct empowerment workshops and seminars, as well as keynote speaking services. So if you're looking for someone to motivate your audience to take it to the next level, I am a certified life coach as well. And Dr. Walker, I think I've covered a great deal of it. Falling in Love with Me is the most recent book that has hit the market, and that is also available in your bookstores as well as on websites such as Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. That's it.
All right, and once again, how do they get in touch with you? Once again, how do they get in touch with you?
Great detail I left out there. Our company website is fosteringleaders.org. And again, that's fosteringleaders.org. Or you can call the office line at 770-862-162.
All right, that's fantastic. All right, we're just about ready to get to tonight's story. And I was saying to the listening audience, we've actually done this show actually 4 years ago in March of 2011. But this is going to actually be part three of that. So if you missed that first show and the second one, you will really benefit from this one as well. So we're just about ready to get into it. Are you eager and excited, Ms. Blake?
Yes. As I recall, it sounds like a very interesting topic.
Right. I find that it is. I am very, very much excited about this. And I've certainly been looking forward to it all week, actually. And actually, one of our listeners actually phoned in at the office and asked if we would do a topic on this particular one, and we said that we certainly would. And tonight's topic, we'll tell you just after the story that we're going to feature right now. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Our show airs every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you're in California, the show would air for you out there about 4 o'clock. If you're in London, you'd have to pick up the show. You're about 5 hours ahead of us, so you would have to pick up the show around 12 midnight your time in London. But it's worth it, and if you can't pick it up live, you can certainly go into the archives. Go to drjesswalker.com, press that play button, and you can listen to the show there. The show is heard all around the world, wherever there's internet. Tonight's characters are Larry and Megan. Larry and Megan. Larry and Megan had been married for 11 years before ending up in a hostile divorce. The couple has two sons, ages 5 and 7, which the mother has full custody of both sons. The early years of their marriage were absolutely beautiful, and that this couple was clearly inseparable. For whatever reason, things came to a sour end. It has been nearly 2 years since their divorce, and Megan is having extreme difficulty in moving on with her life, despite the fact that Larry has remarried for just over a year now. This, too, has affected her in a negative way, to see her ex-husband go and jump into marriage so soon. She has tried dating on occasions, but she finds that it's also tough because she feels that people are not being honest, and she does not want to get caught up into wasting energy or her time. She spends a great deal of time reading self-help material that does not seem to be helping her out at all. She also attends church regularly, praised constantly, can't seem to shake the notion of being single and on her own again. Although young, her two boys realize that something is wrong and knows that her actions demonstrate someone with problems of which they are too young to have a clue of what's going on. She cries almost every night wondering, is there life after divorce? And that, of course, is tonight's topic. Is there life after divorce? And this is part three, in fact. So, Ms. Blake, let me begin with you. You know, and then I want to certainly say this. I've certainly fit into that profile. Is there life after divorce?
Oh, most definitely there is. As you know, I'm the author of the book Falling in Love with Me, and there are things I speak to. But, yeah, there definitely is. There are developmental stages that the divorcee will go through, but there's definitely life after divorce.
There's definitely life after divorce. Okay, and I can certainly speak to that issue as well, and I concur with you in that there is definitely life after divorce. It's just a matter of how you make the decision in your mind. I mean, this is, I think what it comes down to a great deal of is how you decide, how you plan, how you just decide one day that, you know what, I'm going to believe that there is life after divorce. I'm going to just, you know, and the struggle may become getting to that point of knowing that there is life after death, because people can tell you. But, I mean, sometimes it can take a long time to get to that point. Ms. Blake, what? Do you think that – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, do you think that the people who actually, like in Megan's case, here it is, her ex-husband has moved on with his life, whether he's happy or not, story doesn't give that. I frankly believe that he jumped into a relationship too soon. Maybe it was somebody he was seeing all along. But either way – she is not inspired to move on with her life. She's still crying after 2 years, you know, finding it difficult to be single and on her own again. Why is it so hard for some people? And it could be a man going through the same thing. Why is it so hard in your opinion for some people?
Well, and, you know, I definitely can relate currently with the death of my mom back in January. You know, it's a type of death. Divorce is the death of the marriage. And so there's a grieving process. And people differ as their personalities differ. There's a difference in the amount of time it takes to grieve. And so that's part of it. Another thing is, you know, for some people, you know, the end of a marriage is just devastating because they, you know, never, ever dreamed that they would get divorced. And so they take it really personally as a type of failure. But at some point, you need to move forward.
Right. I think that is so important. And it's interesting that you said what you said, that, you know, going back to the death of your mother, which we certainly, you know, our condolences and prayers are still with you on that.
Thank you.
And you mentioned here that marriage is likened to that, and that marriage is the divorce is the death of the marriage. And a lot of people, unless they've actually experienced that, that too is a very painful situation, because people, you know, especially when you're in love with a person and the one who's still holding on to some of that love, and even when you haven't, you know, sometimes women might say that the man doesn't have that emotion, that he's attached. But that's not necessarily true. I think that he's, you know, some men and even some women may feel that way. But there is something spiritual about a marriage, and when it's broken, it's I believe both parties are affected. Now, it may be that they've been separated for a long time and finally divorced. That might be, you know, a method of easing some of the pain. But when the initial part of that marriage ends in a divorce, it can be extremely difficult and painful.
Right, and I alluded to the failure piece, and this is what I hear from a lot of people. I personally felt it for a little while, that failure, you know, because if you have people who really try to be successful, which are most people, then they sometimes will see that lack of succeeding in a marriage is a type of failure. But then people have to realize that it takes two, or I dare to say three, including God, of course, to make that marriage work. So, you know, that's a big part of it, why sometimes people get stuck. As a life coach, we know about people getting stuck and not being able to move ahead. But you have to.
Right. And we're gonna stay on that, and we've got Larry and Megan. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show, 347-857-1769. You want to speak to the host or the co-host or any of the issues that we're presenting tonight, press 1, of course, and we'll take your, be glad to take your call. Let's go to the first phone line. We're going to go to 305-684. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show.
Hey, Dr. Walker, how are you?
We're doing great. We got a little static on your end, some noise in the background. If you help us out with that, we'd appreciate it.
How's that?
Okay. All right. Thank you for what's on your mind. Who do we have with us? This is who?
This is Tim.
Tim, thank you for joining us. Tim, what are your thoughts on, is there life after divorce?
Yeah, there's life after divorce. I kind of wanted to touch on the fact that you guys were talking about the initial shock after you get divorced.
Right.
Sometimes you can be separated from that person for a while before you get a divorce. But when you get that, when you finally get that divorce paper saying that it's annulled and it's over, it hits you again. Like, okay, wait a minute. It's finally done. I'm done. We're done. That can bring back some painful memories at the time, too. But
what,
is there life after divorce?
I missed something. You say that can bring back painful memories. What can bring back painful memories?
When you finally get your divorce paper saying that the divorce is finalized.
Okay.
It can not painful memory, but it can bring back some memories to make you think, oh goodness, it's over now. And
okay.
All of a sudden the memories will start playing in your head again. Okay, I'm really done with this woman now? Okay. But life after divorce is rough, it's hard. You have to find a way to keep moving on. I've been divorced once. Headed into another divorce, not easy.
So is it, Tim, for you, is it easier the second time around, divorce?
No, it's not.
Yep. Okay, all right. Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Tim. We're still getting a little static, but go ahead, try again. All right, we're going to come back to Tim. We're going to ask him to stand by. You know, Ms. Blake, as I think about it, I mean, he said that,
yes.
You know, he got divorced once and now headed into a second divorce. Could it be sometimes that people just didn't get the right partner, or could they maybe do some soul searching for themselves oftentimes? What do you think?
I mean, it's a variety of reasons that marriages don't last. So there's not a one-size-fits-all, but you're right. Sometimes people just don't make the right choices. I mean, you can have two good people, two great people, but they're just not great for each other. And that's a lot of times why people find it hard to believe that certain couples don't work, because everybody's just not meant for each other.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, you know, people, they do need to examine themselves all of the time. I think regardless, divorce, relationships ending, always look internally to see what could have been done different. Not to blame themselves, but to grow from it, to see how can
right.
I improve, what if anything I could have done differently.
Right. You know, and if you're listening, those of you all that are listening that may never have been divorced, but certainly have conflict in your marriage or relationship, and you feel like, you know what, I want to head to divorce court. I mean, if the notion or the thought has even crossed your mind, or even not, we want to hear from you all as well to find out how is it that you maybe keep your marriage together so it doesn't get to the point of divorce. I mean, it could have been something that Megan and Larry missed out on that certainly is troublesome. I mean, just give us any thought on what some of your friends may be out there that you hear tell us that are getting a divorce. You know, and what are some of the things that they may have presented to you all? Some of you all say, well, you might send them comments that I've never been divorced. Well, that is interesting, you know, and let's hope that that never happens to you, because it's going to be a very painful situation. But people that you, I mean, divorce is on such a rise now that this is still a good show for you to tune into, even if you haven't been divorced. So we would love to hear from you, your thoughts on what you think people might be going through.
Dr. Walker, and you know, I'm always the person, we bring two perspectives to this show. Of course, I have been divorced, but I am single now. And so, I've been divorced for years. So, so we kind of come from different perspectives. But I say this topic really doesn't just relate to divorce. What the lady in the story is experiencing, it's not necessarily divorce, the pain of divorce, as much as the pain of a breakup. It's the same thing. People may say it's not because, you know, marriage is more of a commitment and, you know, they were more probably, you know, commingling of lots of pieces of their lives. But for those people who say, hey, I've never been divorced, you know, if you've had a breakup, you too have experienced some of the same emotions that she has experienced.
And that is so important. And that is so true. Because even a breakup where you were in love, that infringes also, you're right, that infringes also on the pain. It's a very similar pain.
Yes.
I think that I can't place a magnitude or measurement on which is worse, because some people love somebody so much that when they go through that breakup, it's that same emotion. You're right, Ms. Blake, it hurts. It hurts, it hurts, it hurts. So even those of you all that have even thought about getting a divorce, you know, for whatever reason, and then you came back to realize that, you know what, let me hold on or let me hang in here just a little bit longer. There may be somebody that needs to hear from you tonight and say, what was the deciding factor for you to say, let me hang in here? Or when you, it could be a man or woman, when you go through that emotional crisis, you know, when after a heated argument, unlike any that you've ever heard or repeated argument, you know, what makes you hang in there? We're going to do a show on that one as well. But somebody may have something tonight that they can say that says, you know what, maybe it was the vows that makes me hang in here. You know, and most times people don't even listen to those vows after the ceremony. So that becomes the issue. But pain is pain.
Right.
All right, we're going to try to go back to Tim just for a second before we come into some more questions. Tim, did you have another comment? Is the pain of an emotional breakup from someone you're dating very similar to the two divorces that you've encountered?
Absolutely.
Well, you said one, actually. Didn't you say one, Tim?
I said one and going through another.
Right.
Right,
okay.
Right. Okay, you've had one and you're going through another. So is
correct.
The pain of a breakup, are there any similarities than somebody you broke up with that you were dating versus, you know, one divorce and now in the process of going through another one?
Only if you love that person the same as you love the other.
Right.
Okay.
That person, as much as you love your wife and you loved her like she was your wife, yeah, that pain is painful. Now, if it was somebody you just met, you guys hooked up, you guys were seeing each other for a while, that pain's not going to be that bad.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Unless you never really loved the person.
Unless you never really loved the person, correct.
Unless you never really loved the person in the first place. And Ms. Blake, is that how realistic is that, that sometimes people go into a marriage and they're not even really in love with the person?
Yeah. And Tim really made a very great point. It's very realistic because there are people who can marry somebody for maybe certain reasons that seem right, but they never really love that person in their heart. And so when that marriage ends, that person who was not in love really is not going to feel a lot of pain.
Correct.
Because their heart's not really being broken or anything.
Yeah, Ms. Blake, we can use the entertainment industry. We can use that as an example. These people get married and divorced
right.
in 2 weeks. 1 month
right.
or so, and then turn right around and get get married again. You know,
exactly.
Right away. So there's no love there.
Right.
So there's no love there. When you get a divorce, it hurts.
Right.
When you love that person, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
right into it again.
So this is obviously the problem that Megan is having. She still has not been able to let go of that love that she has for her ex, even though he's moved on. And you know what? No matter what people say, even if her ex Larry, he may have moved on, but that doesn't mean that his heart is not still, you know, that she's not the key to his heart. We're gonna ask you all to hang on just a second. We're gonna go to phone lines on CN 954-417. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
Hi, this is Nikki.
Nikki, thank you for joining us. Nikki, I'm not sure if you've been divorced or married or what the case is, but can you tell us, is there life? Do you think that there's life after divorce?
No, I've never been divorced.
Okay.
My husband and I guess I could say it was scriptural. I lost him in death, and he passed away.
We're sorry to hear that. Okay. We're sorry to
hear
that.
The only input, thank you, the only input, you know, it's been 5 years, and I can literally say that I still love my husband. He is not physically here anymore, but I can say that my husband died in love. And based on scripture, and it's very sensitive because people don't like to talk about death, but
right.
the living know that they got to die one day.
Right.
We're alive and we know we have to die one day. But basically, I understand now what God meant to love your husband, your wife, to death do us part. Because you
mm-hmm.
have ultimately experienced the love of God. God
okay.
loved us the same way. He loved us to death do us part. He died for our sins. And I can say that I experienced it. He's not physically here, but I can continue. And the only difference with that in divorce is, like, physically that person is still alive, but you have nothing else to do with that person. I know that he's not physically here. But to experience that on that level, I can say it was beneficial for me to go on. And he gave me the perfect, example of how a man is supposed to love me. And I could put him on a pedestal and say that he gave me that perfect example.
Wow. So Nikki, let me ask you this question. Based on that, has it been difficult for you to move on? And maybe this is what Megan is going through with Larry.
Yes, it has been difficult because you had this relationship that was perfect in the eyes of God. We was imperfect humans. I mean, we were two sinners trying to live in harmony. And we did the best that we could, and we lived life. And it is hard when you have ultimately, I'm glad that I experienced that, and I hope to experience again, but if I don't, I have experienced the ultimate love God was talking about.
Wow, that is so important.
Awesome.
So it makes it sound, and Ms. Blake, I'm going to give you a moment to chime in here.
Sure.
It makes it sound as if, Nikki, we're going to actually stand by for a second. It makes it sound as if what she's saying is because she's never experienced divorce, but she's experienced a loss. Her husband passed away, she's saying
right.
to us. And it makes you feel that, wow, you need to really, no matter what you're having to go through in your marriage, you need to find a way to resolve those issues and make life meaningful and purposeful within that marriage, because perhaps you don't know, well, not even perhaps, but obviously you won't even know what it's like until you've lost the love of your life that you really love. And even if you think
right.
that you didn't love them, if you lose them to death, you know, then that too can be painful.
Absolutely.
And if they were obviously treated like Nikki's husband treated her when he was alive, then that can be a heartache and painful experience. Ms. Blake, go ahead.
Right, and I love what she said. It's just awesome. And I actually feel, even though I'm divorced, I do understand that because my ex-husband is also deceased. And so there were really like two deaths. You know, it was a death during the divorce, and then when he died. And true love, just as she's saying, I fully understand that, never, ever dies. I mean, I can truly say right now, I still love him. That's the love, the heart of God. That's that deep love. If you experience that, truly it will transcend time. Now, again, what I love that she said, it sounds like she also can move ahead as well. But, you know, but she still knows the feeling of his love.
I think that that's a very interesting point that you mentioned, Ms. Blake. And I think that with what she's saying, that is interesting, and you're right. You know, when you are clearly in love with somebody, even after a breakup, and Kim, we're going to bring you in a minute, even after a breakup with somebody that you're in love, you can actually move on to someone else and still, I mean, I think that that is one of the most devastating things that can happen to you, is that you're in love with somebody else, you're with somebody, and you're feeling that pain because you may have moved on, like in the case with Larry and Megan. You may have moved on a little bit too fast and realized that, you know what, my heart is still there. And I can almost assure you with that marriage, with Larry and Megan, I can assure you that, you know, he's probably still in love with her, just as she is with him, even though he's with somebody else.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to confuse what I just said, Dr. Walker, because what I, and you're right, that's a slightly separate, I think, situation, but I'm talking about when you have that deep, true love that transcends time. So when that person dies, you still love that person, but you're not in pain. You know what I'm saying? You still love them. Now, what you're alluding to sounds like some unresolved issues, and that definitely is what Megan is dealing with, unresolved issues. In my opinion. Dr. Walker, are you able to hear me?
Yes, I'm able to hear you. I am.
Okay.
And so that is important. We're going to go ahead and we're going to bring Tim in and get his thoughts on that. All right, Tim, if you're still with us, why don't you go ahead and come on, chime in.
Yeah, I have a question for Nikki. Nikki still on the phone?
Let's see if she's still here with us. All right, hang on 1 second.
Yes, I'm
Nikki,
here.
Nikki, are you there? Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
I have a question for Nikki. Is it harder for you to get over that loss of your husband and move on because now you know that true love that you've always wanted to have and feel like? And now you have to find it again. Is it harder for you to move forward?
No, I can't distinguish like right off the bat. You know what is real and what is fake.
Right.
When you experience that type of love, right off the bat, you already know because that person gave you, you know, the solitary love that God talks about.
Right.
So. You don't put up with no mess. You don't have time. You're not even gonna waste a year with that person.
Right.
Not even no month with that person, because he's not giving you exactly what God intended on you. You know to have.
I think that is interesting. Let me. We're gonna ask you all to stand by just for a second. We're gonna go to the phone lines once again, and see if we can bring in another caller here. We're going to go to the phone lines with 786-624. 786-624, are you there?
Hello? Yes.
Yes.
Hello, Dr. Walker.
Hi. Who do we have with us this evening? And thank you for joining us.
Sharon,
thank you for joining us. Sharon, did you have a comment or question?
Yes, I had a comment on the scenario with Larry and Megan. And I wanted to know, did we hear why they were divorced? Because I feel that it depends on why you were divorced.
Story didn't give, it didn't give an account of why they were divorced. But I can tell you that, just basically, people, I think one of the reasons people get to that point, if it's not physical abuses, but it could be a contribution of arguments or a compilation of arguments where people have these arguments, they just can't seem to find a happy medium. And so when that tends to happen, I think that the people just get tired. They get worn down and they feel like, you know what, I can't do this anymore. Somewhere along the way, there was a breakdown in the marriage. It could be communication. I think that that's a starting point, is a breakdown in communication. Because if you think about it, you can have a breakdown with your finances. But if you don't stop and take time out to talk about these things, if you don't talk about it, you know, the issues that you're having, then you know what? They're just going to add up. They're going to add up. And then you're going to find that there's a situation, there's a flaw or a fault in everything that you're doing. And so because people just, they may suppress it, they may hold on to it. One party may be willing to talk, but the other one's not willing to talk. So it can be a compilation of different things. And then sometimes you can have an infringement. Go ahead.
I wanted to make a comment, though, where you said that Megan, she found it hard to move on. She was crying, very emotional.
Right.
I remember a program that I listened to by Juanita Bynum, and she gave a very interesting thought where she said that when two people are married, especially in the Lord, because we know that marriage, God is the creator of marriage, she stated that men are givers, women are receivers. So when the man is entering the woman, she's receiving. When you have women that have received from different men or even from your husband, it's you have him inside of you. It's almost like that spirit of that person is in you. And it's difficult to press on, especially for the women, because we're the receivers. So when looking at it from that standpoint and knowing that marriage is divine, and when we do get divorced, the only reason God gives us is if your partner commits adultery, then he's giving you the okay to divorce. But we divorce for so many different other reasons that it's really not divorce in God's eyes. You have so many people, even in the church, who are living in adultery. But they say they're divorced in the courthouse, but in the books of heaven, they're still married. So they have to face God when he comes. And that's a very serious situation. Me, personally, I don't believe in divorce. I think that if something happens, God will intervene, whether it's the death of a spouse or whatever it may be. But I personally do not believe in it because it's a commitment that you make. It's a vow. And God says if you vow, that vow stands for eternity because you're vowing in God's name. And you have a responsibility to keep your vow.
And, you know, that's a very interesting point, Sharon, that you make, because I think that people, for the most part, they just go about and just, go ahead and I can't deal with this one, so let me go get another one. I can't deal with that Let me go get another one. And they just keep swapping lives and swapping wives or swapping husbands. And you're bringing all of these different spirits right up in there, and it gets to be very confusing. So that's an interesting perspective. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. We're going to go, Ms. Blake, did you want to come in on anything?
The only thing I just like to say, because, you know, I'm always just keeping it real, when it comes to the church, particularly the church that I belong to, you know, I do agree with our caller to a great extent. But what I've found is I just don't judge people. Not saying our caller is. I'm not implying that at all. Because sometimes people think they know why people got divorced and they don't know. And, you know, I know in my instance, I didn't feel a need to explain to anybody, you know, why I was getting divorced. But I knew, and I think at the end of the day, people have to answer to God. You know, and so I chose to not put adultery on my divorce decree. because I didn't have a need to prove to people that, yeah, I can get divorced. You know, I felt like that's between me and God. But so maybe somebody reading in my divorce decree would think, well, they just decided they didn't want to be together anymore. So that's just something, you know, I just like to put out there to other people who may be listening in that sometimes jump to these conclusions about people are getting divorced, but they shouldn't be able to divorce. They really don't know what's going on inside that relationship.
Right. Ms. Blake, I thought that our caller did also bring out some interesting points, and, of course, she's given her subjective views, right?
Yeah.
And I tend to, my experience causes me, not saying that I'm right, but causes me to lean towards what you're saying in agreement, Ms. Blake. If it's something that I can't deal with, then, you know, I don't think the God that I serve, now this is just my dogmatic opinion, and just as I respect everybody else putting it out there, I don't think the God that I serve, if I'm living or a woman is living in a situation that's just not working out, you know, and then it's more frustration, you know, whether it's bullying or intimidation or the marriage is not gelling, you know, for whatever reason, you done prayed about it 100 years, you know, you fasted about it, you know, and Sharon, I know you say God intervened. God does not impose his will on anyone, neither of those people. He will intervene if the both parties, I believe he can, and he will intervene. But if both parties want it, but then there are times when we have ignored God's warning signs about don't get into that marriage. So we
in
go
first
ahead
place.
And get into
yeah.
it. And you understand, Ms. Blake? And once we jump
yes.
in there, and it's like, God, rescue me. Help me out here.
Right.
You know, God, what have I done? Please intervene. No, his intervention was trying to be to block
exactly.
you from going in that direction. And see, because if, and let me tell you something. This is my furtherance of my dogmatic opinion here. If two people walk together, they can agree, and that agreement can make it work. But let me tell you
yes.
something. People today, they get divorced for numerous reasons. But let me tell you something, what is deadly, that people have got to be careful when you allow other people to infringe on your marriage. When you allow other
yeah.
people to infringe on your marriage, because at the end of the day, those same people can run off to their significant others. And then at the end of the day, you're without. So we don't know why Megan and Larry doesn't give that. But for whatever reason it is, you know, it can be a painful, painful, painful situation. Go ahead, Ms. Blake, and then we're going to bring Sharon back in.
No, I don't have any other comments. I agree with what you were saying, that God doesn't always put people together and then
no.
we want to run for help. And he was saying, I didn't tell you to get in that marriage in the first place.
No, not at all. Not at all. We're going to go to, let's go to, there's some numbers coming up here, 111.
Let's go to Ear Doctor.
Who do we have, 111? We have a 111. All right. All right, that number we can't seem to get. Let's go back to Tim just for a second, then we're going to bring Nikki in. Tim, give us your thought.
I just caught, like, the tail end of, for some reason, I got cut off. But
okay.
I heard you when you were saying that you were giving advice as far as don't let other people infringe on your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jesse Walker, you just said a mouthful because, you know, back when my mother and everybody was married and all this stuff, people didn't do that. People didn't do that often. But nowadays, that seems like it's the thing to do. Everybody's infringing on everybody's marriage. Do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. You shouldn't let him do this. You shouldn't let her do that. Stay out of other people's marriage. You don't know what's going on inside that circle.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, they will walk, they will turn right around, go with their significant other, and when you guys get a divorce, the first thing they say is, I don't know why they got a divorce. You don't. You don't.
But
we're not getting a divorce.
Right. And see, I am realistic. I'm realistic, and I like to keep it real, just as my co-host Ms. Blake like to keep it real. And see, when you go to that extent that you're letting people dictate your marriage, you know,
Amen.
And you know what? They can console you after you've divorced, because
Amen.
There is no way There is no, and I can guarantee you this, that if you let people infringe on your marriage or dictate to your marriage and then you divorce, I can assure you they will not let you infringe on their marriage because they'll start looking at you cross-eyed and saying, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Your marriage didn't work out. Your marriage,
amen,
your first, second, third marriage didn't work out. I don't need your advice. I don't need your opinion. Go ahead, Ms. Blake. Come on in on that. And then we're going to bring Nick in.
Well, I definitely agree with everything that you said. And so people have to, you know, take their marriage to God in prayer. Certainly
right.
Godly counsel is great. But if I got godly counsel, it would be from a couple that's been married for a long time who's working for them, not just
right.
my opinionated people looking on. So,
right.
again, it's between that couple and God.
Okay. That's a very interesting Amen. Point. We're gonna go to Nikki, then we're gonna go to another phone line. Let's see. Nikki, are you still with us? All right. Nikki, if you're still with us. All right.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Did you have another comment?
No, I'm agreeing. Everybody's saying agreeable comments. I agree with the last caller also.
Okay. All right, let's go to 917. Let's go to 917-399. Who do we have on the air with us, and welcome?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us, Angela, with your baby. All right, Angela, we're going to come back to you in just a moment.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back to Sharon. Sharon, give us your
yes.
views. I mean, I know that you say you don't believe in divorce, and that's rightfully so. That is so
mm-hmm.
powerful. That's really the way that it should be. You know, that
yeah.
was God's original plan, I believe it was. And I don't think he's deviated from that. It's just that now, I say, the God that I serve, I don't think he wants you to be unhappy in a relationship
mm-hmm.
or in a marriage that's just not working out. You know, when you can be 20 in your 20s and you get
mm-hmm.
into this marriage and it turns out to be a sour marriage because oftentimes, people are not truly honest. They're not honest in those initial stages.
Right.
If they were honest, they would tell you up front things that you don't find out until you get married to them. You will never know a person until you live with them. And let me tell you
yeah.
something. Because people are honest, they deceive you into even getting with them in a relationship or even in the marriage. And I can assure you that will come back to haunt them 10 times over and affect their family as well. But,
right.
But you got it right in that you shouldn't be, you know, divorce is not something that we should put on the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, the reality of it is, the God that I serve, if you're in your 20s, there is no way you're going to spend 40 years with somebody in a miserable life. Your parents wouldn't want you to do it. The God that I serve is greater than parents. He doesn't want you to do it. Ms. Blake, what do you think about that? Do you think God you serve wants you miserable?
No, because it could literally kill you. It literally cannot, you know, studies have shown that, you know, marriage is good, it's healthy, it's good to have companionship, but if you're in a bad situation, it can have a
yeah.
devastating effect on you. And let's not forget, you know, the things that could happen. Of course, I think our caller did say adultery is a reason, so certainly I understand
right.
that. Yeah, but
right.
abuse is another thing, you know. You
mm-hmm.
literally could get killed staying in a relationship
mm-hmm.
when you're being abused.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know you
yeah,
mentioned, Sharon, earlier that women are
mm-hmm.
givers, I mean receivers, and the men
yeah,
are
receivers.
Givers.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something. I mean, these marriages are not all honest. They're not all honest because you hear a number of women that complain about things that are on, you know, within marriage in terms of my husband is not doing this, my husband is not doing that, my husband is signing this complaint or that complaint. But at the same time, you're hearing men saying, my wife is not even being intimate with me. You know, that
yeah.
very thing that causes people to bond, that is what God has placed there for people to bond. And they're not even,
right.
they're not exercising that, which I'm going to tell you something, and you all go research it. When men
mm-hmm.
are not being pleased in that area, all right, and even a woman for that matter, the man stands a greater likelihood of being frustrated, and all sorts of things come out to him because That's the part of the giving that he has, that his testosterone builds up, and it, there's no relief for him, and it becomes a frustration for him. But then sometimes women don't understand that. Ms. Blake, you're into mental health. Have you, I'm sure you've read statistics on that. I'm sure you've seen the surveys on that. How true is that, or am I just climbing up some wall somewhere?
Well, it is true, and you're a man, but I like the fact that you say it's not just men, because it goes for women, too. You know, when we talk about sexuality, we're always kind of gearing toward the male, and,
right,
you know, women
right.
have needs, too, and sometimes
right.
we have men with low sex drive, so, you know, I just keep it real.
So. Right, and it is, and you're absolutely right, and we're going to have a show on that. Let me try to go to Angela again, and then we're going to try to go to some of the comments that have come in. Angela, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Walker.
Okay, thank you for joining us. Thank you for, I hope the baby's okay.
No, that's not my baby.
Oh, that wasn't here?
We get interference. I don't have any babies in here.
Oh, okay, all right. I'm sorry. My bad, as they would say. What was your comment or your thought?
I actually forgot what my comment was because the last guy that was on had said something and hit it right on the nose. But
okay.
I forgot.
I think it may have been along the lines of the last guy, Tim, that came in and said something about other people infringing on people's marriage. And
right,
so your thought
exactly.
may have centered around that.
Exactly. Family are good at that. They're great manipulators. They butt in and they try to get involved in your marriage. I've had siblings tell me that blood was thicker than water and that I had to put them first before my husband. I had to get that I wasn't acting like my mother told me one time that, what she said? She said that I wasn't part of the bloodline because I didn't, that I would take my husband's word over their word or do for him before I would do for them. So people will come into your marriage with nonsense and try to interrupt what you have going on.
Okay. All right, you know what I want to do? As a matter of fact, have a show on that one. Is blood thicker than water when it comes to
that
marriage?
That would be good.
Ms. Blake, we'll do that one. We'll do that one.
Sounds great.
Angela, I mean, that sounds so important, and people need to hear that. Sharon, how do you feel about that topic?
I think that's a very good one. She has some interesting comments about it.
We are. Matter of fact, we'll go ahead and we'll do that on next week because I think people, I mean, these are some serious issues. And people can certainly go back into the archives and listen to these shows because, you know, this is a ministry, whether people look at it that way or not. I know that we don't quote scriptures, you know, day in and day out on this show, but I'm telling you, it's real out here. It's real. And then, you know, you talk about the church. A large number of church-related marriages are ending in divorce. As a matter of fact, the statistics are showing that the church marriages are ending in record numbers versus who may not be a part associated with a church. How do you explain that, Ms. Blake?
I can't. The only thing I would say is that we're all dealing with human beings. We are human
that's
regardless if we
with.
Are part of something or not. Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're dealing with here, and people are failing to realize that. Let's take some of these comments, and we're going to give them to different people, if you would. In reference to tonight's topic, is there life after divorce? This mail writes in, and Sharon, we'll give you the first one. She says, initially, I didn't think there was life after my wife's divorce, me some 5 years ago, until I came to grips with myself that life has to go on. I was really so much in love with her until I really did not know how to function without her. My message to others is to learn to take it one day at a time. Now, Sharon, I know you say you've never been divorced, and you don't understand that. I know Nikki said that as well. But let me just ask you this. When he says to take life one day at a time, is that any different? And you've been in a situation, maybe I should ask the question, have you been in a relationship where you broke up with somebody that you were in love with prior to your marriage?
No.
Oh, so your husband is your first and only?
Yes.
Wow.
I dated others, but I didn't love them because I broke up with them and moved on real quick.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, well, let me give somebody else that one then.
Let me use somebody else now. Angela, let me give you that one. This person says, you know, after you heard the question, I imagine. Did you hear the question? Or his comment?
Yes, I heard.
Okay, what do you think? He says his wife left him after 5 years. They divorced. It's been 5 years ago now, and he had to come to grips with himself that life has to go on. He was so much in love with her until he just couldn't function without her. And he says you have to take it one day at a time. You know, have you been divorced before, Angela? Let me ask you that question.
No, but I've been separated from my husband.
Okay. How painful has that
been? I actually believe it is. That's pretty painful. It is pretty painful. But I can only say it's pretty painful from my husband's perspective because I wasn't suffering that much because I was the one who was doing the cheating. So I was out there having the fun. He was the one who was suffering and going through everything, and I found that out once we reconciled and got back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually feel through his emotion how painful it was for him, and I tried to apologize for putting him through what I took him through. So
wow.
it is painful for maybe the husband or the wife.
Okay. All right. But how important is it to just take it one day at a time to try to, you know, recollect yourself?
I think that's very important because my husband and I, we joke a lot. If we ever break up, any little thing can trigger one of us to say, you know what, I'm done. I think I say it more to him. This isn't working. You know what, let's just find out. One of us find another place to stay. And, you know, it's not that I don't love him, but there's so many things that's going on in a relationship that you just get tired of feeling like you're rehashing things over and over and over. So it's not that I don't love him. It's just that we can't get through the issues that seem to reoccur. So I think you do have to take it one day at a time.
Okay, so that's a very interesting point. All right, let's go to Tim on this one. Tim, are you still with us?
I'm here.
All right, Tim, this male writes in. He says, in reference to tonight's topic of their life after divorce, when things start to get physical in your relationship, that is definitely a time to move on, he says, as was the case in my marriage of 7 years. He says, I've gotten therapy for my temperament, and now my ex-wife and I are cordial because we still have 3 small children. I'm seeing someone that I really enjoy now, even more so than my wife at the time, and yes, there is life after divorce. So, Tim, does it help when you go on and get somebody else? Is that a temporary thing?
It helps, but it doesn't help to go and find somebody right away. That's not solving the issue. That's not solving the problem. When you get a divorce and you jump into another relationship, you're taking the same issues that you had in the last relationship with you. And you're actually going to be a little more upset because you're still...
All right, Tim, you're fading away. You're far away from the phone. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you much better now. Quickly, just give us 10 seconds or less. Go ahead.
I said no, to find a new relationship right away, no. That's not a good thing.
All right. Let me move on now with this one here. Miss Blake, let me give you this one. This female writes in, and we got to do them real quick now because we got about 90 seconds left. This female says, I think you have to find your life after divorce in your heart. That you will be better than you were during your marriage with expectations that you will find happiness from within and ultimately with someone who loves you as much as you love them. How important is that? Is she on point?
I think that's great. You have to, it's all about the mindset, valuing who you are and your worth and having a positive outlook on the future.
All right. Nikki, are you still with us? Nikki? All right. Let me take the next
here,
one.
I'm here. Hello?
Okay. Nikki, this email writes in. She says, I think that you, I had the most difficult time when my husband left me for a close friend of mine. They eventually married, which lasted only a couple of years. I nearly lost it. Are we getting static? She says, I nearly lost it. Wait. Let me mute a few people out. All right, hang on just a second. All right, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. She writes in, she says, I nearly lost it because of how I put so much trust in him and her. It has been 3 years, and I can truly say that if you have the faith that things will get better, they eventually will, which is the case for me. I say just maintain or hold on to your faith, and you will make it through. I'm happier for the experience and now more guarded but free. What do you think about that? I mean, holding on to your faith, even after losing your husband, I'm sure it was a struggle for you. How important is holding on to the faith, no matter what the situation is?
It's very important. You have to hold on to your faith, and like she said, you have to safeguard your heart from this world. I mean, the world only wants what it can get from you. So you have to, like, really be careful who you're dating, who you're seeking.
Okay.
Hello.
All right, that's an interesting one. Yes. All right, let me go now to Ms. Blake. You can take the last one here because we're clearly out of time. This female writes in, she says, my success formula for life after divorce was simply stay or get more involved in church affairs and stay busy. She said, lots of prayer and determination that I would eventually get over it. I mean, could anybody have said it any better than that?
I think that's great. Staying busy is good. The other thing I would say is, you know, once you feel like you're healed, give yourself some time, get back out there. You know, I never stop believing in love. And I think just make sure that you get better and not be bitter.
Okay. I think on that note, we are clearly out of time. I want to thank all of my callers for joining in with us. Even those of you all that we couldn't get to tonight, we certainly apologize. Thank you all and continue to follow us live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. If you choose to bypass this Friday, join us once again next week when our topic will be, is blood thicker than water when it comes to marriage? Is blood thicker than water when it comes to marriage? You really don't want to miss this show. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.